This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger. So America, let's hear God's message. His Bible is his message. Please open to Psalm 112, verse 1, where we left off last time. This particular psalm is in what is called the Deuteronomy Book of Psalms. Deuteronomy, in the Hebrew, means "these are the words." And this particular psalm is entitled, "The Man Who Reveres Yahweh." Now, when it says man, it means you. Man, woman, boy, or girl. And revere means to fear, love, trust, obey, serve the Lord full-heartedly. And Yahweh is the covenant name of the Lord. So he's going to psychoanalyze you today and find out whether you are someone who really reveres the Lord or if you've just been saying that. So do a little mental check and check yourself. Here we go.
Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, Hebrew, hallelujah, hail God the Creator, Yahweh the Redeemer. Now he says, first of all, blessed means happy. He says that if you fear the Lord, but it's not just quaking your boots, it means love him with all your heart, your whole life's devoted to him, serve him, obey him every 24 hours a day, every minute, and it says that you will be happy. So check yourself, are you happy?
That delighteth greatly in his commandments.
Now that's the second part of you being happy. He says that if you fear the Lord, love, revere, respect, and obey, trust, and if you delight in his commandments would be the Bible, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Now I want to ask you, do you really love Leviticus? I do. You see Jesus in Leviticus? Do you love the Chronicles with all those numbers? Do you love all of the genealogy? Do you love Revelation? Okay, check yourself. You delight in his word. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
2, his seed shall be mighty upon earth.
Okay, 3 kinds of seed that you have. First of all is the seed of your child. A child is indeed blessed if that child, from the time it was a baby, was held in its mother and daddy's arms, both of them, and they said, Jesus loves you, and they read the Bible over the baby. That seed is blessed. And so that would naturally, you would understand there's a blessing there. But that's the baby level. There's the seed of the word. If you really are a person who reveres the Lord, you will sow the truth. There is no way an elect, a person who loves God, would hear all of this truth, the mystery, the first earth age, the seduction in the garden, the 7 trumps, the fallen angels, the Mamzars, the Kenites, and all of this redemption story. There's no way you would hear that and keep it to yourself. You would want to grab everybody you meet and tell them, and you would sow the word, and sooner or later, somebody would accept that word, and somebody would get saved. So go and sow, and God will grow. And then, of course, the third way, and this is where the rubber meets the road, is you sow your money. Now, God doesn't need your money, but he knows that we have to have money to live in this world. So he tells us to bring our tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in God's house. It didn't say milk. So if you sow your tithe where you get milk, you're wasting it. Meat means the depth of the word, in depth, line by line, all of the word of God. And he promises great blessings. But that's not the seed. That's a command. If you don't tithe, you're robbing God. You're under a curse. Go read Malachi. But Paul explains it in 2 Corinthians 9. After the tithe, he talks about a seed offering. And he says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Remember, everything we sow comes back to us. In other words, if you reap bountifully, you reap bountifully. Every man, as he purposeth in his heart, So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, unmerited favor, abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. It does not mean you'll have a new car or have a bed to sleep on or a bathroom. It means that you will have what you need to do, what God wants you to do, living proof here. And then he says, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Then he says, God gives seed to the sower. He watches the person who tithes and then puts plus on it. It's all for God's work now. And he says, okay, I'll say that person is a sower, so God will give you a seed just to test you. Maybe it'll be an extra $10, an extra $100, a bonus or something. And he says, he ministers bread for your food. He'll supply your basic needs. And he says, he multiplies your seed sown. In other words, God's law of reciprocity, we reap what we sow, it all comes back multiplied. So it says, if you're a person who reveres God, it says you're happy and you love his word, and it says that your seed is blessed. Child, word that you sow, and money.
The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
Now the upright here in the Hebrew is Zadok, Z-A-D-O-K, which means the elect or the just, mentioned in Romans 8. And Jesus said in Mark 13, you are the generation of the fig tree, be you 5 or 105, who will usher in the second coming of Jesus. That doesn't mean that God might not call some of us home, but we are it. And why would the generation of the upright be blessed, the fig tree be blessed? Because this person who reveres God and delights in his word would know the word well enough to know that 6 comes before 7. You would not be deceived by the Antichrist, who is the devil with his Jesus costume on. And you would be glad. Besides, Jesus said in Luke, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. The two witnesses are going to be killed. And if you're one of those, that's still good news, because after 3.5 days, they arise from the dead. So we win any way you look at it.
3, wealth and riches shall be in his house.
Oh, this is good. Now, wealth and riches. Now, this is where the prosperity preachers that think that we're supposed to have five Rolls Royces and all these fancy cars and houses and lands and big stained glass buildings. No, 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 no. Wealth in the Hebrew means enough, E-N-O-U-G-H. It does not mean surplus, any surplus. And what about riches? In Revelation chapter 2, 3, Jesus was talking to one of the two type churches here at the end that pleased Jesus. Remember, there are only two type that please him. Revelation talks about that. And he said to this type church, he said, I know your works. I know you work day and night to get my word out. I see you burning the midnight oil. I see what you go through to get 1 hour of work done for me. And he said, I know your tribulations. I know that you're fighting impossible odds. I see what Satan has done to you. And he said, I see your poverty. I see that you empty out your bank account until you've got $3.23 left, and all of it went to get God's word out. And he said, but thou art rich. Jesus said that. Listen to me. If you have the truth, I do not mean one verse and 3 points or a book about the book or tradition of men. The whole story, the mystery of God. And you have a roof over your head. You are rich. And the truth is, if you have the truth, even if you didn't have a roof over your head, I believe by working the truth and obeying the truth, you would find a roof over your head. God would provide it.
His righteousness endureth forever.
The righteousness means your righteous acts will endure forever. Remember, this is talking to you. He's analyzing you. You're supposed to be analyzing yourself to see if you are a man who reveres a Yahweh or a woman. Okay, he says your righteousness. This means righteous acts. In Revelation 19, it tells us that the righteousness of saints, that would be those who fear Yahweh, it says it weaves your fine linen garment, gown, that you're going to wear for all eternity. And the righteousness means righteous acts. Now, we all know we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus did the work on Calvary. He died. He shed his blood. He arose again. He paid our sin debt. But once you're saved, you're supposed to find truth. I offer it here, real truth. And then you're to take that truth and sow it. Jesus in the Word. Jesus in the Word. Jesus in the Word. Jesus in the Word. And if you do that, your gown is being sewn together, really. Some Christians are going to be naked for all eternity. Some are just going to have a few panels. I would say, we better get busy. Let's start sewing so God can sew up our garment. Now, that would be the righteousness. Revelation 14 says the only thing you can take with you are your works. Are you sending them on ahead? They're being written by your name, you know. We don't work for fame or fortune for the Lord. The more that we can do when nobody knows it, that's best. Sometimes it needs to be known so it'll be an example to other people. But make sure that you've got enough to weave a gown. I'm asking that I'll have some left over that I can give them to somebody else.
For unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness.
Upright, Zadok, elect, chosen, the ones who revere Yahweh. Okay, right now the earth is very dark. And very soon at the sixth trump, the prince of darkness is coming. He will be Satan, pretending to be the savior of the world. The whole world will go after him and half the body of Christ because we have no oil, no truth. But the upright will still not be in the dark because Jesus is our light. As Isaiah says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. There is always light where there's truth. See, truth turns on the light. So if you have the truth, you're never in the dark.
He is gracious and full of compassion.
Now, in Psalm 111, last time, in verse 3, it told us that God is righteous. This Psalm, verse 3, it says that the man or woman who reveres Yahweh is righteous. In other words, you do righteous acts. In Psalm 111, verse 4, last time, he said that God is compassionate. In verse 4 here, he says that the man or woman who reveres God is compassionate. Now, anybody who is anyway connected with Jesus will never sit with their hands folded and stare at you stoically while you are pouring out your heart in tears where the world has fallen apart. They will be crying with you. They will cover you with tears and with their arms. Nobody who has any kind of Jesus in them will ever sit and watch the show when another person's hurting. You'll feel their pain. We are one body. When you hurt, I hurt. Lord have mercy that we could bear one another's burdens. Don't you ever again sit there and stare when somebody's crying out and it's so hard for them. For God's sake, at least wail one time for them. Compassion. Compassionate counselor, Jesus, counselor.
Righteous. 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth.
Now this is good. A good man, that's the man, a woman who reveres the Lord, is what he's talking about. You show favor. What does favor mean? It means to stoop down and help someone in a lower estate. God looked down at us little munchkins running around on planet Earth like a chicken with our heads cut off. I shouldn't say that because of ISIS. And he said, poor little things, I think I'll make me a body and I'll go down there and be among the munchkins. And they will see that I understand, that I feel what they feel, and I'll pay their son debt. He stooped down to a lower estate. He left heaven's glory and came down here in this sewage of sin for us. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean by lendeth? It does not mean money. In the Hebrew, lendeth means a merciful act. In other words, a person who reveres God is full of mercy. A merciful act is when you take what you need and do without it and give it away to help someone else. A merciful act is when you mess up your schedule and put yourself out of the way and go and help, especially where the Word of God is concerned. See, we think a merciful act is just bringing a little piece of cake to somebody in the church. That's a sweet thing to do, but you didn't go out of your way. You cooked that cake for your family. You bought it. You see what I'm saying? A merciful act is when you show mercy. The Samaritan went across the street and he poured in the oil and the wine, and he got him well. He paid for it out of his own pocket. It disrupted his schedule. When's the last time you disrupted your schedule to do something you know perfectly well needs to be done for another?
He will guide his affairs with discretion.
That means discernment, judgment, discernment of spirits in the book of Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12, the nine gifts of spirit, that one of the gifts is discernment of spirit with wisdom. Holy Spirit will give you wisdom.
6, surely he shall not be moved forever.
That is so beautiful. In Revelation 3, God promises the overcomers that you will be a pillar in the temple of the Lord during that millennium time and forever, and that you will never again be moved away from him. You will never have to go out again. We won't be moved forever. Back home with God forever. Never more to roam, as the song says.
The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance.
Oh, the righteous. Okay, that's the saved one. Now, why does he say that? God has books. He has a book of remembrance. Now, right now, your name is in a book and probably quite a few books about you there. Now, at the end of the millennium, the 1,000 years reign of peace, Jesus will be on earth and the Zadot will be teaching, a discipline type teaching. We'll all be in our spiritual bodies here on planet earth. God is going to bring into existence the lake of fire, and Satan is going to walk into it and be gone. And all who follow him, all who are not saved, will walk into it. And the Bible says in Revelation, their names will be blotted out. That means they will no longer be remembered. God is doing it for himself because he is our nearest kinsman redeemer. He loves them most. And if he kept remembering them, he wouldn't be happy. So he blots out the memory. Blotted out means did not exist. No, not there. And he's going to blot out their memory from us because you couldn't be happy if your Uncle Joe wasn't there. So, but he says the upright, no, no, no. He's going to keep your name in the book of life forever and ever.
7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings.
Okay, so somebody just lost your loved one. Of course it hurts. We grieve. Our hearts break. But you see, while we are crying, that loved one, if they are saved, is laughing. You know, when the baby comes into the world, the baby cries and we laugh. When one goes out of the world, we cry, and if they're saved, they laugh. Beside, the Bible says we will know our loved ones. And evil tidings, what about the job? Okay, so this particular company was shut down. We've had a lot of that at the Space Center here. That's not bad news. God has something better. Did that door close? God said, turn around. I've got something more profound. If you're doing the seed thing, there's going to be some supply. He promises that. He says he'll multiply it back. And if you revere God, you're going to trust him, and he's always going to supply your needs. There's always something there. And what about the person you love goes away from you? Your heart will hurt. Of course, these things are unpleasant. I've been through all of this stuff, and it hurts very badly. But we're not afraid of the evil tidings because we have a Savior, and we know that our hope is in Christ, and that the best is truly yet to be for those who are righteous and saved.
His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord.
Fixed, established, you're not moved by this and that. Christian, please be steady. You're not to be a seesaw running hither, thither, and yon. Find your place and get in it. Bloom where you're planted. Don't try to get where you're not yet ready to be. Sometimes it's a process. Maybe you need teaching now. Maybe you're called somewhere to be in worship and be there. That is the ministry in itself, to be supportive. In other words, be faithful, be steady. And no matter what comes or what goes, stand steady. And you know what fixes your word is Jesus and the Bible. It fixes your heart is Jesus and the Bible. That's what keeps me steady. This comes and that comes. That wind blows and this one. This one says that and that one goes and this happens. But my God, have mercy. My Lord is real and steady as a rock. And he keeps me anchored on the rock. He'll do the same for you who revere Yahweh.
8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies.
The word until is interesting. He shall not see, he shall not be, he won't have to worry about that his enemy is going to get away with it. Until means you are going to see your desire on your enemy. Ultimately, the enemy is the devil. He's the adversary who roams around like a lion. He's not the lion, like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. We're going to actually watch him walk into the lake of fire, turn to ashes within, be blotted out, and be no more. But this also means those people who are so evil to you, who speak lies against you, who do you wrong, who cheat on you, who hurt you, we're going to see that too. We don't even rejoice. But remember, we reap what we sow.
Verse 9, he hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever.
Now it's talking about you. You have dispersed. You know what that means? Broadcast. Well, are you sowing the truth? You're broadcasting. Okay, you've given to the poor. It doesn't mean poor in money. It means humble, teachable. You sow the truth. You broadcast the truth of God's word to teachable people is what that means. Paul brings this same scripture in the 2 Corinthians 9, the one I talked to you about a while ago, and it says, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So Paul quoted this same psalm in 2 Corinthians 9. You want to make sure you read that.
His horn shall be exalted with honor.
Horn means power. God says that the man or woman who fears the Lord, there's time you're going to be honored for your labor. We might not get honor in this world, but there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb, and there are going to be rewards. It's award night. Ever been to a banquet and they gave out rewards? I'm looking forward to some. How about you?
10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved.
That wicked one, Rashah, the devil himself, he is never happy to see an elect start getting ahead, start getting promoted, start getting another radio station or getting another soul into Jesus. It makes him so happy, he gnashes his teeth. He causes people to say bad things about you and write hate mail to you.
He shall gnash with his teeth.
There you go.
And melt away.
Into the lake of fire.
The desire of the wicked shall perish.
Now, perish there means perdition. The wicked is the wicked one, Rashah, the devil. Perish, perdition. Satan is the son of perdition. In Ezekiel 28, King Tyrus there is the devil, and God sentenced him to perdition, to turn to ashes from within, to perish and be no more. In Revelation chapter 9, there are two names there, Hebrew and Greek, of the one who is the Antichrist, who is the devil. One is Abaddon, that's Hebrew, and one is Apollyon in the Greek, and Apollyon means perdition. That is the Antichrist. He is sentenced to walk into the lake of fire and be no more. Now, I do pray that you have done a good check on yourself. I do pray that you are one of those who reveres Yahweh. That means you're happy. That means that wealth and riches, you have enough. And that means that no matter what comes your way, you're not going to be upset about it. And that means that ultimately, you're going to live happily ever after in the temple of the Lord. So God bless you, you who revere the Lord. Well, it's time now for Mystery Moment. Paul speaks of the mystery of God. Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Antichrist, the devil, with his Jesus costume on, comes at the sixth trump. That's coming soon. We are now in the fifth trump, which is a time of learning. May we hear the fifth trumpet of truth, please. Questions and answers. Question number one. Dear Sherry Trumpet, in Revelation 18, this woman, Mystery Babylon, is sitting upon a beast decked in purple and scarlet, and she says, I sit a queen and am no widow. Please tell me what that means. Okay. Babylon means lies, confusion. And of course, the devil will be here at that time pretending to be the Savior, lying. The beast is the political system that supports the Antichrist. And mystery is one of the devil's ploys to copy God. Jesus is the mystery of God, which tells about the three earth ages and so forth in the garden and so forth, what really happened there, the seduction. So we have a mystery of Babylon confusion. Now, the scarlet and red means royalty. Now, you have to understand what the word widow there. She says, I sit a queen and am no widow. The woman sitting will be all the world who will be deceived by Antichrist and half the body of Christ. So it means men too. And the widow word there means divorced. See, when Satan rebelled in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, and said, I will be God. And since he deceived so many of God's children in our celestial bodies, spiritual bodies, that brought sin into the equation, and sin has divorced mankind from God. That's why Jesus is coming back for a wedding, you see, and Jesus is the King of Kings. So if the King comes back, Jesus, and marries us, then we'd be the queen, right? But she says, I sit a queen, because some of us elect are going to say to somebody, that's not Jesus. You married the wrong one. And those deceived, even in the church, will say, oh, no, I'm a queen. I married Jesus. I'm not a widow. I'm not divorced from him. Mystery Babylon is deceived. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry, in Genesis 6, who are the parents of the giants? Okay, in the Genesis 6, it says, and there were giants in the land in those days. The Hebrew word is Geba. They're a hybrid. Their father were the fallen angels of Genesis 6. The Hebrew word is Nephilim, fallen angels. Jude talks about them and says they left their first habitation. See, all souls come from God, for when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. But there was a time for each one of us to come out one time in the flesh on this earth age, the second earth age, to choose Jesus or the devil. But Satan sent those fallen angels out, not in the flesh body, they came in their spiritual body, and they married the beautiful daughters of the man Adam, Eth Ha Adam, through whom Jesus was to come. And Satan had them do that to pollute the seed line so Jesus could not come through a pure line. The child was the Geba, a hybrid. So that's who they were. I hope that helps you. Dear Sherry, in 2 Timothy, who is Prisca? Okay, Paul is talking about Priscilla, a woman. It's a pet name he has for her. He loves her. She's a woman of God. She's a woman preacher, and he calls her Prisca. She is married to Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, man and wife. But Priscilla is the woman teacher. So you can see that Paul kind of prefers her. And so it's a pet name. A lot of times when you love someone, you start calling them a pet name. Okay, next question. Dear Sherry Trumpet, please explain the difference between called and chosen. All right, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Let's all say that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Okay, God says in Peter that God is long-suffering, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved. So that's why you're here, unless you're an elect in the second earth age, and he called you and he called you. Some of you are being called now. You'll be called in a few minutes when I pray the prayer of salvation. Whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter what your nationality, Gentile, seed of Abraham, anyway, whosoever will may come. Everybody gets a chance to be saved. Doesn't mean everybody will be. So that's a large multitude called. That doesn't even mean, though, that they're saved, but many are called. Chosen. The answer is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Chosen from before, yet before, the foundation of the earth. The chosen were chosen before the foundation of the earth. What's the foundation? Greek word, katabo. Let's say it. Katabo. You need to teach this. This is your truth. It means Satan's overthrow in the first earth age when I will be God. Remember, Revelation 12 says he deceived one-third of the stars. The stars are the children of the God minus the flesh. But there was one little group there in our spiritual bodies that fought for God. And so God had a judgment right there. Romans 8, whom he foreknew he did predestinate and justify, judge, found not guilty. That chosen remnant has been sent out in every generation in the human form. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Samuel, and Peter, and Paul, and now at the very end, the very elect of the dot. God could trust them then, so he chose them then, because he needs you now. When Antichrist comes, he wants to trust that when you deliver it up to Antichrist, you will not premeditate. You will let the Holy Spirit speak through you whatever God would speak through you, and the whole world will hear it. Chosen. Okay. Dear Sherry, is December 25th really Jesus' birthday? Okay, first of all, I want to say this. Make hay while the sun shines. While the whole world is celebrating the birthday of Jesus, though they won't say the word, they know that Christmas means that. I mean, let's exploit it. Let's preach on it. Now, we don't gag at a gnat or strain at a camel. For Christmas, for our program here, I taught from the Bible when Jesus was born. It's in the Bible. Did you know that? Luke wrote it down. Luke gave us the first mathematical equation, and he says that Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's father, married, remember, to Elizabeth, that his course in the temple was the course of Abijah. Chronicles says that is June 13th through June 19th. When Zechariah heard that he and Elizabeth in her old age were going to have a child, it took him from the 19th to the 24th, pushing the 25th of June to get home. She got pregnant immediately. Then it says after 6 months, it was December 24th, pushing December 25th, and Gabriel came to Mary. So Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit on December 25th. So let's don't argue about it. What time does life begin at conception? His actual birthday would have been then, 9 months later, September 29th. Listen to this. That is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles means when God comes and tabernacles with us. Again, we don't gag at a gnat or strain at a camel. Let's make hay while the sun shines and let the whole world know we have a Savior. Hallelujah. Now, to be saved, I would like for you to pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. I want you to come and live with me, and where I'm going to be a pillar, I want you to come and stand by me all eternity. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
For every sin.
For every sin.
Omission.
Omission.
Commission.
Commission.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe Jesus shed his blood.
I believe Jesus shed his blood.
For the remission of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge.
To enlarge.
Your territory.
Your territory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says confession is made unto salvation. With a mouth you confess. I would invite you lovingly to call me and tell me if you prayed that. My announcer at the end of my program will give you my telephone number. So you also may call me to leave a prayer request. Right now I want to speak to any one of you who's sick out there. In the mighty name and the power of Jesus Christ, I speak to pain. I say, pain, stop in the name of Jesus. Jesus bore our pains. And I say, cancer, die, desist. Go, you cannot stay in this person. I say, deaf ears open, epitaph, blind eyes see, legs get up and walk, get up out of the wheelchair, hearts be healed, lungs be healed, kidneys, bladders be healed in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. You shall not die but live and declare the works of God. Resurrection life of Jesus flowing through you now out there in cyberland airspace. Get up and believe. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. Say it out of your mouth, believe it in your heart. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. Now, you might like to call me to tell me you were healed. Again, my announcer will give you my number. You may call me for prayer for healing. You may call me for prayer for salvation. You may call me to tell me you love me and enjoy my program. And I love you. Now, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. You want to come on Sunday at my school over here, 5 p.m. We do the radio broadcast here. And we have the true word. And come on Wednesday night, we have another word, another book that we're studying there. And we pray for the body of Christ. We pray for America. Always the word, the word, the word, because that is the name of God. His name is called the Word of God. You stay in that word. I love you. See you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Something that I can believe in, and I share it with the world for everyone to see. I take away the darkness, all the pain and sadness. I know it's you that put this light inside.
Into the mirror, knew I wasn't who I wanted to be. I was living life the way that I wanted, but my eyes reminded me I'm not free. Believe the lies, so everything that I know says I gotta go, tired of going solo. But I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to crawl. I'm not the one with two star hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of the life inside this man. I've been born again. I see you walking like you're living in fear, having trouble even looking at me. Wishing they would give you more than words, sick of people telling how it should be. What you download, where'd you get your info? You saw the hype show, now you're in the endo. Gonna tell you what I believe. Oh, this is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to crawl. I'm not the one with two star hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of the life inside this man. I've been born again.
And I see the martyrs dying for the truth. I see the glory of the Lord upon the earth. And I see the higher places crumble to the ground. I see the King of Kings exalted over all. I see a generation falling on their face. I see the kingdom of the Lord upon the earth. How will you wait for you? How King of Glory. How will you wait for you? How King Glory, yeah, we wait for you, King of Glory. 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 I see a dancing people spinning unto God. I see the lame and broken ones becoming whole. I see the dead man arising. I see the miracles and wonders of our God.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.